Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
Hey everybody, and welcome to church today. Isn't it so good to be together? Those of us who've been in the physical services have so enjoyed the last few weeks, the worship and the atmosphere, the ability for us as a church to worship together again has been so good. And so if you're well, if you're not at risk, really want to encourage you to get to either Edenvale or Boksburg campuses for physical services. We're having an absolute ball here, and of course the auditorium and all venues, all kids venues, fully sanitized before every service. I wanted to say thank you so much for continuing to send in your prayer requests and praise reports on the Thrive Church app and on our website. We're continuing to pray so much. The pastoral team are praying for the deep challenges and immense needs that so many people are facing at this time. But at the same time, so many encouraging stories and testimonies continue to flood the app and the website, continue to come in. We heard a story the other day of a lady whose sister has been blessed with a baby that she's been praying so hard for. Another incredible lady in our congregation had a stroke at the beginning of lockdown, clots on the brain, a hole in the heart. Well, five COVID tests later and five hospital visits later, here she is back at church serving, back where she belongs. Another person in our congregation searched for 18 months, but has found a job in the industry that they love. Another person wrote in and said they found work after 9 months. They got the call the very same week that we had prayer and worship services. God is so good and faithful. So continue to talk to us. Let us know how it is we can pray for you. You know, because when I read these stories, I'm so grateful for God's hand over our lives, over our individual lives, and over our church's lives. He has been so good to us. I want to start today, though, by giving you a confession. I have not always lived grateful. Truth be told, I've not always lived grateful. As I turned 18, my older brother handed down an old car that he had as his first car. This car's name was Boris. It was a yellow Ford Cortina, 2-liter, 4-speed, 1984 yellow, two-tone yellow because it had been spray painted so many times, Ford Cortina. Not exactly the coolest car for a university student. Not exactly a car that one dreams of when you think of your first car. And truth be told, as I reflect on it, I think my attitude at that whole time was actually one of deep ingratitude. I was deeply ungrateful for the car that I had received. And I guess the reality is I sometimes still live very much ungratefully. I catch myself in ingratitude frequently. Now, we know this has been a year where at times it has been easy not to be grateful, hasn't it? Perhaps you can relate. Perhaps this year you've struggled to be grateful. It's just been a year, right? The thing is, gratitude, being grateful, it's a game changer in our lives, church. Being grateful changes the atmosphere of our lives. Being grateful is like a good wind. You know those first summer winds that begin to blow, and they blow in the first storm, and they blow in the first rains of summer, and then afterwards, after the first storm, the air is clean and clear, and you can look at the skyline of Johannesburg as you come over the N12, and you can see the whole city, and everything just seems to glisten, and it's clean and clear. Well, gratitude's like that. It helps us to see things clearly in our lives. Being grateful is a game changer. It's good for us, you know, church. It's good for us physically. Did you know that? You know, in his book, The Upward Spiral, Using Neuroscience to Reverse the Course of Depression, Alex Korb, he talks about how being grateful boosts the neurotransmitters dopamine and serotonin and the hormone oxytocin, all associated with well-being and having a positive outlook on life. Here's the thing. Gratitude, being grateful is good for you physically. But, of course, the main benefits are not physical. They are, but the main benefits are spiritual. Being grateful does 7 vital things to our spirituality. Very quickly. First, it helps us to love God. You see, when we think of how good He has been, when we're grateful, we think of how good He has been, But then we come closer to him. Gratitude is a pathway to intimacy. Just try it with your spouse. Try being grateful to your spouse. You'll see how it fosters intimacy. Secondly, being grateful is a form of worship. You know, thankfulness, being grateful, it's a key part and a component of worship, acknowledging what God has done for us. It's key in our worship. Thirdly, gratitude teaches us how to discipline our thoughts, teaches us to focus on the positive and not the negative. That's what it does. It disciplines our thoughts. Fourthly, it gives us a posture of humility. We say, God, we acknowledge that every good thing in our life comes from you. A posture of humility. We haven't earned it. We haven't caused it ourselves. Fifthly, gratitude reduces anxiety. When we think back and we remember and we acknowledge what God has done for us, it's easier to trust for the future, isn't it? Number six, gratitude, being grateful, erodes envy. When we think of how much we have as opposed to how much we lack, all of a sudden envy disappears. And seventh and lastly, it reorientates our hearts. Ends up reminding us of the things that truly matter in life. The things that are of lasting value. Friendships, family, people, investment into younger people. Those sorts of things. When we're grateful, we get focused on what's really, really important in life. Gratitude is a game changer in our lives. And I think that's why Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica. And he writes three simple verses that can change your life today. He writes in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18, three short verses. He says this, always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances. This is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Three verses that can change your life. Let's read them again. Paul writes, he says, always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances. This is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Three short verses that can change your life. Can I invite you to memorize those verses? They're really, really short. Nothing quite beats having God's word deep inside of us. Hey, you can call on it whenever you need it. That's the power of memorizing scripture. Three short verses to memorize. So now, how do we become grateful people? From Paul's writings here, I think we see three things that are important. Firstly, we understand that being grateful is a decision. He writes, be thankful. The reason Paul calls us to be grateful is because God knows it's good for us. I told you it's good for us physically and spiritually. Well, God knows that. Gratitude, being grateful, it's for us. It's not for God. God doesn't need our gratitude. It's for our good, not His. So Paul writes and he goes, hey, you guys, be grateful. It's a decision, not a feeling. I think one of the biggest lies that our culture tells us is to do things based upon how we feel. Like, have you ever heard these things? I'm not feeling it today. Or, I feel like this is hard. Or, I don't feel like doing that. Ever heard that kind of phrasing? I think the very worst thing that you and I can ever do is to live our lives making decisions based upon how we feel. Honestly, it's the worst thing you can ever do, to make a decision based on how you feel. Here's the thing. I'll never feel like going to gym. I'll never feel like eating healthy. I will never feel like saving for retirement. I will never feel like giving sacrificially. I'll never feel like serving. And I'll never feel like going to life group after a long day. That's the thing. Here's what I've learned. If it's good for me, hear me today, church. If it's good for me, it's probably not going to feel good. If it's good for you, it's probably not going to feel good. Church, I really want to speak honestly and directly to us today. I think we've got to be careful. The feelings we follow today will determine the disaster we experience tomorrow. Let me say it again. The feelings you follow today will determine the disaster you'll experience tomorrow if you follow your feelings. And I think there are few things more transformative than gratitude, and it's a decision. That's why Paul writes, be grateful. Secondly, being grateful is a mindset. He writes and he says, be thankful in all circumstances. Notice the wording, in all circumstances. Not through all circumstances, in all circumstances. Here's the gratitude mindset. It's just five simple words. Here's the mindset of gratitude. Ready for it? Five simple words for you to remember today when it comes to gratitude as a mindset. My life is a gift. My life is a gift. My life is a gift. Every day I wake up to a day I did not create, to a life I did not give myself, to a salvation that I did not earn. My life is a gift. And if we grasp it, I mean, if we really grasp it, if we grab hold of that thought, my life is a gift, then I can be grateful in all circumstances, as Paul says. In all of them, I can be grateful. Because my gratitude is not linked to my circumstances. It's linked to my mindset. My life is a gift. That's my mindset. And that's why I'm grateful. I'm not grateful because life's working out or not. I'm grateful because my life is a gift. You know, Adam and Eve, I was thinking about it the other day. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, as they were created, we never once see any expression of thanks from Adam and Eve to God. I think the original sin in Scripture could well be ingratitude. And I think it could well be the source sin that influences and impacts on every other area of our lives as well. Think about it. Adam and Eve, you never hear them saying thank you. Thank you for the garden. Thank you for life. Adam going, thank you for my wife. There's no thank you. There's simply a pursuit of their own agenda. So my life is a gift. That's my mindset. Everything I have is a gift. Nobody owes me anything. Everything I have is from Him. It's a gracious gift from Him. And when I grasp that, when I really let that truth sink into the deepest part of me, that my life is a gift, pure and simple, I can be grateful in all circumstances because the central truth remains, my life is a gift, no matter what's going on. Church, it's a mindset. Being grateful, it's a mindset. Thirdly, being grateful is a practice. It's expressed, it's lived, it's demonstrated. It's thanksgiving and not just thanksgiving. The other day, Pastor Ken and I went to dinner at a wonderful couple in our church. This couple was so kind to make my favorite meal, oxtail. Oxtail is proof that God exists, and I challenge anybody who says to me that at the feast in heaven, oxtail will not be present. I want to say to you, oxtail will be the starter, the main, and dessert. And when we finished with oxtail, the next day there'll be more oxtail. Oxtail is the thing. If you have never tried oxtail, try it. If you don't like oxtail, I want to pray for you and for your salvation. I want to pray that the Lord would do some work in your life. Oxtail. Anyway, back to the story. I don't know. I got sidetracked. Back to the story. We got oxtail for dinner. Now, picture me enjoying the meal, but I eat half of my meal, and I say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I say thank you as I push my plate back towards my host, half eaten. The meal's half eaten. I say thank you, but the meal's half eaten. Gratitude, being grateful, is me eating one plate, then getting up and going for seconds. And in between mouthfuls of seconds, saying, thank you, this is amazing. Thank you, the oxtail is incredible. And when I'm done with that plate, getting up and going for thirds. And between mouthfuls of thirds, saying, this oxtail is incredible. This oxtail is amazing. Thank you so, so much. Thanksgiving words and thanksgiving, I'm eating thirds. So how do we practice being grateful? Well, let me start by telling you what will not work. It will not work for you to leave church today or leave the online space that you're at today and for you to walk away and go, I'm going to try and be more grateful. I'm going to be better at this thing. I'm going to become more grateful. That will not work. And the reason it won't work, church, is because we are, as human beings, we are habitual creatures. Habits govern our lives, right? We are habitual. Someone once said that habits eat your will for breakfast every day of the week, and it's true. And so the only way for us to develop the habit, the practice of being grateful, is through practice, through forming a new habit. Trevor Hudson great friend of our church, said, practice doesn't make perfect, it makes possible. Practicing being grateful makes it possible. So, how do we practice being grateful? I want to suggest to you simply by saying thank you. I hope that's simple enough. Thank you. Say thank you to God, to the people in your lives, at every opportunity. It is to put into practice the habit of saying thank you as often as we can. I don't know about you, but I've got this practice down some parts of the day. Like in the morning, I bring Pastor Ken a coffee early in the morning, kiss her, and in that moment, I'm grateful that she's alive. I can say, God, thank you for my wife. Thank you for my partner in life. Thank you that this person that has chosen to do life with me is in my life, still alive. Thank you for Candace. Thank you for her life. Thank you that we go through life together. I find that early in the morning, as we wake the kids up in the morning, give them a kiss on the cheek and on the forehead, wake them up, get them up. It's easy for me to be grateful. Many a parent's going, now, yeah, it's very easy to be grateful for your kids when they're sleeping. We all know the feeling, right? But I can do that at the beginning of the day, and then I can also do it at the end of the day. When I come into the kids' room to kiss them goodnight and just pray over them in the evening before Candace and I go to bed, to pray over them while they're sleeping, I find it so easy to be grateful. And then when we get into bed at the end of the day and the quiet moments when Kans and I have that time together, I find it easy to be grateful, to say thank you, God, for life. Thank you for the silence. Thank you for the quiet space. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for the day today. I find it easy at the beginning of the day. I find it easy to say thank you at the end of the day. At the bookends of the day, I find it easy to say thank you. But I find it exceptionally difficult in the middle of the day to say thank you. I find it very, very hard. And I have some triggers that I think make that harder for me. Like sometimes I feel hard done by in the day. Sometimes I feel hard pressed, or sometimes I'm just plain working hard, you know. I find the middle of the day hard spaces for me to say thank you. How about you? When's being grateful easy for you, and when is it being more difficult for you? Can I encourage you into a practice of simply saying thank you at regular intervals throughout the day? It will change the atmosphere of your life. Church, being grateful, let me say it again, it's a game changer. Once was a man called John Claypool. He was a pastor in England. He had a daughter named Laura Lou, and his daughter Laura Lou died just before her 10th birthday of leukemia. Very, very tragic story. He wrote about his experience in a book called Tracks of a Fellow Struggler. And in it, he shares his journey through the darkness of this heartbreaking grief. And he shares it through four extraordinary sermons. The book is made up of these four sermons. The first sermon was delivered just 11 days after his daughter's original diagnosis of leukemia. The second was after her first major relapse, like 9 months later. The third sermon took place just weeks after her death. And then his final sermon, an inspiring reflection on the process of grieving, was preached 3 years later. John Claypool says this in his book. Who was Laura Lou really? She had been a gift, not something I created, and therefore had the right to clutch as some sort of owned possession, but a treasure who had always belonged to another. She had been with me solely through the gracious generosity of the One. And at every given juncture, we humans are given the freedom to choose the attitudes we assume. And so it was with me. I could be angry that Laura Lou had died after only 10 short years, or I could be grateful that she had lived at all and that I had been able to share in her wonder. I chose then, and I still do, the way of gratitude. Amazing man and an amazing story. I read that story and it reminded me of Jesus. Right at the Last Supper, on the eve of his crucifixion, Jesus gave thanks twice, both with the bread and the wine. In the midst of his most significant trial, Jesus practiced being grateful. Despite the trial, Jesus practiced being grateful. Hey, church, 2020 has been a year, right? It has been a trial for so many of us. But as Christ follows, we are going to follow Jesus' example. We are going to practice being grateful in the midst of it and despite it. We're going to follow the ways of Jesus in this, right? Well, Vision Offering 2020 will be taking place in November. 8th of November in Edenvale and 15th of November in Boksburg. And we've themed Vision Offering 2020, we've themed it grateful. Just that one word, grateful, this year. Because the heart behind it is for us as a church to practice, through our offering, being grateful. The burden that God laid on Pastor Cand and my heart for Vision Offering 2020 is the thought of an offering of thanksgiving, an offering of thanksgiving, an offering that says to God, we are grateful, an offering that expresses our deep, deep gratitude to God for how he has kept us, how he has blessed us, how he has strengthened us, for his grace over our lives, for his physical protection, his financial provision, for the fact that he was with us, each one of us, in the fire. And so while it's certainly true that many have experienced challenges this year, obviously, we do want to follow Jesus by practicing gratitude, by being grateful. Like in the midst of this, despite this, even if the year's been hard, we can be generous, we can be sacrificial. On the other hand, some people have come through COVID unscathed financially. So if you're in that category, we want to show God that we're so grateful for that. How is it that 2020 happened and we were unscathed financially? We should be grateful to God. And then, of course, some others in our church have done better in lockdown than ever before financially. I mean, some people have been killing it financially in lockdown, like a new business has launched or their company or business was really in a niche or a sweet spot. COVID suited them perfectly. We've heard stories of some businesses having had record years. Some of our congregation put money away every month for Vision Offering. Some wait for tax refunds. Some just find ways to be generous and sacrificial in so many different ways. And we know that everybody's in a different space. But what's common to all of us is that God has been good. And he has shown himself so faithful. And for that, we are grateful. And so Vision Offering 2020 is called Grateful. Because we are practicing thanksgiving through our generosity. In Boksburg, the offering is going to help us finish the new kids zone and special needs classes. The building's up, but man, we've got so much that we need to put into those classes and to furnish them and finish them well. And in Edenvale, we've got beautiful plans to open up and enlarge the foyer area with a view to creating space to an entrance to one day a longer-term plan to build a balcony. So there's a definite plan in place. So Vision Offering 2020, grateful. We can't wait. Coming up in November. Start to pray, start to hear, and then let's have the faith to obey what God wants us to give in this season. Church, so as we begin this series, being grateful, as we head into this next season of being grateful, let's remember, being grateful, it's a decision. Paul says, be grateful. Secondly, it's a mindset. My life is a gift. Five words that can change your life. My life is a gift. It is a mindset. And thirdly, being grateful, it's a practice. Simply saying thank you. You know, there is one way that we can practice thanksgiving in this moment right now. Earlier, you heard me reference Jesus' Last Supper where he practiced gratitude in the moment. He gave God thanks for the bread and for the wine. And of course, he went on the next day to be crucified. Christ died for you and I so that you and I could be reconciled to God, so that we could have a friendship with the God in heaven who loves us. That truth, as it confronts you and as it is proposed to you today, brings each one of us to a decision point. Will we be grateful for that? Will we acknowledge Christ's work? Or will we put it to the side and somewhat ignore it? Today, you have an opportunity, a moment in time, to practice thanksgiving, to practice being thankful to Jesus for that. And today, I would love to lead you in a moment of prayer. For those of you who are coming to Christ and accepting that truth and that reality that he died for you for the first time today. There may, however, be other people watching who are coming back to Jesus today. Like maybe there's been a moment and a season, time in your life where you've gone your own way. Well, today's a coming back. And all throughout this message, you've just been overwhelmed by how good God has been to you, even though you've been somewhat away from him. So if you're coming to Christ either for the first time today or maybe coming back, I'd love the great privilege of leading you in prayer. And so can I ask you to join with me in this moment? Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for your love and your grace and your mercy. And Jesus, we are so grateful. We want to be grateful to you today for your sacrifice, that you gave your life for us so that we could live spiritually, so that we could live eternally. And today we want to acknowledge that, say thank you. Today we want to open our hearts to that reality and invite you into our lives. Today we want to take a moment and repent. Turn 180 degrees from the lifestyle that's been unhealthy, and we want to turn and place our faith in you and our eyes upon you. And in this moment, that's what I'm doing right now, is I'm saying, would you forgive me and would you begin to write a new story with my life? Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your love for me. Today I want to make a decision to follow you, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're watching online today, we want to congratulate you. All throughout our Thrive Church community, people in the buildings and watching online are congratulating you right now, because we've got a culture of celebration in our church. We want you to know that we are congratulating. We want you to know that we are with you in this moment. We want you to know that we're cheering you on. And we'd love it if you just let us know if you made that decision today, simply by clicking the raise hand icon on the bottom right hand side of your screen if you're watching on church online, or simply WhatsApp the words follow Jesus to the number on the screen right now. We'd love to simply send you one message congratulating you and giving you a next step. Church, thanks so much for joining us online today. I hope the service has helped you, encouraged you. Let's step into a season of being grateful. Have an amazing week, everybody. See you next time.
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.